Wow, I think I'm going to get probably a lot of abuse for this, but Ironmans are actually easier than swim runs, certainly that distance of a swim run.
The Triathlon Show, episode 63. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of That Triathlon Show, the podcast presented by scientifictriathlon.com. I'm your host, Michael, and today's episode is a bit of a special episode. It's all about swimrun, and it will have a lot of actionable tips, tools, and tactics that you can use in your first or next swimrun race in both training, racing, and preparation for it. But the format is a bit different in that I'll have several different audio clips from before and after the race, and we will have a lot of those actual tips and our experiences just as conversations that come through those clips that we recorded in the heat of the moment, so to say, on our mobile devices at the pasta party, after the race, before after the prizing ceremony, and so on. So it's an interesting kind of episode, I think. It's been very interesting to put it together, and I hope that you enjoy it. So do send me feedback about what you think about it to michael@scientifictriathlon.com, and that's Michael with a K. And I'll be back after these different audio clips with the overall conclusions from the episode, so stay tuned for that. In this first clip that you'll hear, it's me and Simon Brierley, my race partner and coach, and we're discussing at the pasta party the night before the race about our preparations so far, our expectations for the race, and also nutrition planning, preparations, and a bit of the other things that we had in mind at that point. And obviously, you will hear at a later point about the results of the race. Did me and Simon become Finnish natural champions or not? Well, you need to listen to this episode to hear that, so keep listening. But here's the pre-race recording from the pasta party of the night before the race. Simon and I are sitting here at the pasta party the night before the race, and are we ready to go, Simon? What do you think?
I think we're ready to go. Looking good, looking sharp. We're eyeing up our competition on the tracking device. By the way, everyone, you can track us on the GPS live. That's going to be quite interesting to see.
Yeah, well, they're going to hear this after the race.
Okay, well, track away anyway.
do that.
We'll load up our GPS files at a later date, and you can have a look at that stuff. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. What's the plan for tomorrow?
Well, we're going to do a bit of swimming. We're going to do a bit of running. Sorry, I'm quite relaxed about this. I'm just trying to stay relaxed. It is a little bit. A little bit of nerves, a little bit of fun, but also it's quite a serious distance that we've got to take quite seriously.
Yeah, so just to reiterate, it's 10 kilometers of swimming and 41 kilometers or 42 kilometers of running, and that's broken down into 18 or 19 run segments and 18 or 17 swim segments. So we're looking at probably 8 hours plus, 8:30 maybe, that we'll finish in. So that's a long day out. It's almost like an Ironman, but the intensity is a lot lower because it's just the kind of race that this is. Very gnarly terrain and quite a bit of navigation, probably, from what we're hearing, but we're not quite sure. So we will have a map and compass. What about the cold? You've been training now in a cold river back home in the UK, so do you feel adapted to it and ready to swim in the cold?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's what we swam in yesterday wasn't as cold as what I've been swimming in the river. And so certainly it's been a good process of, I've done the best that I can for acclimatization being based in the UK. But however, I would have liked to have probably done a little bit more sea swimming. The sea doesn't taste the same here. It's not as salty as Cyprus when I'm used to.
0.3% salt, I believe.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah. So it's quite a lower density. Yeah. So we're not necessarily going to be as buoyant in a wetsuit as we were in Cyprus in particular, or in other seas that I've been used to swimming in, certainly with a wetsuit. So, yeah, acclimatization's been as best as I can for where I've been based in the UK.
Equipment, preparation, everything feels good with your new swimrun suit and all?
Yeah, haven't needed to bring a bike with me on this time. Flying without a bike is a new one to me. But Swimboy, we've now tethered that off so that when you do get out the swim, you're not just having to carry it in your hand or drop it on the floor, or even when you're swimming in the sea, it could actually just float away from you. So it's tethered off, and that's something which is obviously very new. The swimrun wetsuits, I've got mine from Zone 3, the Evolution suit. There's been some adaptations that I've had to get used to without the buoyancy in the legs as much as, because it's only a 2 mil thickness in the legs in the quad area. But that's for the running side of things, to be freer.
Otherwise you would be very confined and find it difficult to run.
Quite restricted, although I do like to wear compression shorts quite a bit on my triathlons, on Ironmans. But you're absolutely right, to run straight out of the water, it's going to be an interesting if you are too tight and too much material there.
And for shoes, what are you wearing for shoes, and how have you been finding them?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to get wet. they're going to cause... I've tried to look at that a little bit more on the technical side, and they're evolving the swim-run shoes these days. There's a lot of trail shoes out there, but there's some trail shoes which are got Gore-Tex coating or Gore-Tex material on it. You don't want to be having Gore-Tex in your swim-run shoes, because they will trap the water in once the water gets in there and hold onto a lot more water. We want that to drain out as soon as we get out onto the land as quickly as possible. So I'm running in On, which is my shoe sponsor for the past, I've been running in Ons for about the past 5 years. But they've brought out a trail shoe, which is the On Adventure Peak trail shoe. And that's been going pretty well. I've probably done about 50, 60 kilometers of running over my training periods for this event. In and out of the water, and also on some trail runs in particular. I think I'm pretty okay with the selection of the equipment that I'm on the best there. Mm.
And I'll give some shout out as well for equipment and my experience. And I'm now in a Colting wetsuit, swimrun suit, and Jonas Colting is the founder of that company, and he's obviously one of the best swimrunners out there, I think, and used to be an elite triathlete. And so big shout out to Colting wetsuits, because they helped me out in a pinch when my old swimrun suit, which was not a Colting wetsuit, broke, and I reached out to them because I had already gotten paddles from them, and Simon as well, so we're using Colting paddles, and I actually got their wetsuit as well, which is really, really good. From the one swimrun I've done, I love how easy it is to run in it. That's the one thing that sets it apart, I think. There are some things that maybe I would like a back pocket of some sort, but mostly I found it brilliant. And then my shoes that I have are from Icebug, and they are actual specific swimrun shoes, so the Icebug Acceleridas, and they have been brilliant as well, stepping down into the water onto rocks, and they still have a great grip, so that's been going really good, and they drain really, really fast. So that's excellent. And like yourself, I've been training not here but in Helsinki, and I think the water is slightly warmer here, although where we did our training session yesterday, the water temperature was probably a degree or two warmer than what it will be further up north and in the more unprotected areas of the island. So, but things are looking good. How's the hamstring holding up? What do you think about that?
I was hoping you weren't going to mention it. It's twinging like a guitar. You can play it like a guitar string. It's there. It's conscious. We went for a little run today, and I was trying to find a position to run a little bit more relaxed and freer. But as we said earlier, and as we've kind of done on the previous blogs, the running sections are not going to be sub 4:30 per K, you know, pace wise, you just it's impossible to hit that.
And it's not monotonous like it running on the roads would be with the exact same stride time and time again.
Absolutely. So stride length is going to be over rocks, over gravel, over through forests, you know, different things. It's no footpath. There are some sections, certainly on the last stage, one of the longer stages on the runs, which is going to be a bit of road, but still we won't be striding out at like we would in a 10k run or in a marathon. For me in particular, certainly won't be hitting 4 minute k's on that side of the pacing.
Yeah, and one more thing, that I've had my injury struggles as well during this swim run training, so it hasn't been completely smooth sailing. I had a week or so, maybe a bit more than a week, where my knee was really, really sore and I wasn't running on it at all, so skipped all running, just swim, open water swim training. But that fortunately has been working out really well, and it seems completely healed by now and has been for a week. So the program that I outlined a few weeks ago on the swim run training episode, I haven't been able to stick to that, unfortunately, but those are things that happen and we just need to make the best of it. And I think that we have a good endurance base and tactical awareness that is going to be really, really important for us tomorrow and having the preparations done. One final thing in this pre-race episode, we did our nutrition planning and preparation for today. So what did we do for that, Simon?
So we've actually been quite, this is another benefit to us as well, because of both of us involved in coaching, myself in Ironman racing, and recently working through with my coach on a stringent, very stringent and particular nutritional plan for my Ironman race in Austria, which was absolutely perfect. So we've got this knowledge between us on certainly a better plan than last year for yourself, Mikel.
Yeah.
On the nutritional side, what we call hitting the wall.
A plan is good to have.
Just any plan was better than last year, I think, was what Mikel was trying to say there for a minute. So we've actually looked at how much calories we're going to need to be consuming per hour. Yes, we're in the water, so it's a very false environment, which is the difference of this type of swim and run, where you think you're not getting dehydrated. You see people on poolside, swimming in pools or in club sessions, and they have a bottle of electrolytes or a bottle of hydration or carbohydrate drink on the side of the pool. The reason why is because they potentially are doing a 5K swim set in that pool, and therefore you think you don't need to rehydrate during that session, but it will increase your performance and also aid your recovery after that session. But for us tomorrow, we're looking at maintaining our glycogen levels, which is very important to us. So that calorie count, that carbohydrate of an average of a minimum of 60 grams per hour. So that's 60 grams per hour that we've been calculating. And we will, if we need any more, we can easily pick up that extra from a feed station. Although we were turning our noses up at the menu,
from the Michelin star. Buns, pickles, and what did we?
Fish soup.
Yeah, that's a finish line. Yeah. But one thing that we didn't even discuss that I just started thinking about is that the potentially extra amount of calories that we'll burn through, even at low intensity, just to keep our bodies warm and keeping the core temperature up, because we will get towards hypothermic or more hypothermic than normal with swimming in the water, and we will, the body will need to expend energy to keep the core temperature up. So that's another factor to take into account. And the nutrition that we have, for example, for myself, I'm looking at 18 gels, I think, and then it was something like 2 liters of sports drink, so that added to up to that 60 grams per hour of carbohydrates. And I also use precision hydration products that I added to the sports drink to get additional electrolytes, because in the swim run suit, even though, as Simon says, it's a false environment, that because it may feel a bit cold, you don't think you're sweating, but in that swim run suit, running in it, you will be sweating, and so I will be very careful with replacing the electrolytes as well. Anything else to add now, or should we hit the bed and prepare for tomorrow? And then maybe
absolutely. Yeah. It's looking forward to it, really excited, and hopefully we won't fall out with each other. So there is the other psychological team motivation aspect and element to these types of team day eventing stuff. It's a new sport. It sounds really amazing, and I can only say sounds because I haven't taken part in one yet. I've been trying to do as much training as I possibly can. Mikel's done this race and this course last year, and so I think that's our bonus added element for tomorrow's event. And I think it will be a bonus for medals, or at least a podium, certainly.
Yeah.
But we would like to, yeah. Should we lay it down? We'd like to go out for the win.
We'd like to win the first ever Finnish National Championships.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Great. Awesome.
And in this next clip, you'll hear we are sitting outside of the restaurant at the finishing area. We had been having a nice sauna, typical Finnish tradition, of course, to have after races. And obviously, after a cold race like this, it's really nice to have. We are just waiting for the pricing ceremony, but the question remains, did we win a prize or not? Did Simon's hamstring hold up? Were our preparations good enough? Were we tough enough? Did we suffer from hypothermia or fall off a cliff or something? You'll hear all of that in this next episode, and obviously, on a more serious note, you'll hear about some of the things that we did well and some of the things that we did not so well, including both on the pacing, nutrition side of things, and even things like navigation, following markers and orienteering, all those sorts of things. Equipment is also a big part of this conversation, so here you go. Here's another audio clip with me and Simon post-race.
So we're now finally sitting here after the swim run, Åland swim run event, the Finnish Natural Championships. It's a beautiful day. The sea is still completely calm. It's warm for Finland. And Simon, how are you feeling?
Very sore. That was challenging. Yeah, one word, challenging.
Where does it stand compared to an Ironman?
I think I'm going to get probably a lot of abuse for this, but Ironmans are actually easier than swim runs, certainly that distance of a swim run.
Yes, and that terrain. I haven't done an Ironman, so I won't take a stand on that, but I believe you.
You have to take my word for that. Yeah.
So our results, let's first mention quickly our results. We did, it was a 10-kilometer swim in total, 17 segments, and I believe an 18 segments of running for a total of 42 kilometers. And we actually ended up with 53 kilometers or so in total, and the time was 9:57, so almost 10 hours. So it was Ironman comparable. And we finished second in the race, but first in the Finnish National Championship category. So we're very happy with that.
Oh, yeah.
And we are the first ever Finnish National Championship champions in swimrun. So let's talk through the experience a bit more. Well, let's give you a brief overview first. So in anything else that you want to mention from a very, very brief couple of sentences about your experience today?
Certainly. I mean, out there was times that we did get a little bit down and demoralized. So it's certainly a journey that we were heading out there, but maybe we'll cover that a little bit more in the conversation and personal reflection. But we seemed to work really well together, and I was quite happy about that. Amazing location. Guys, if you're ever thinking of, guys or girls, excuse me, if you're ever thinking of doing a swim run and you are not necessarily new to the sports and you don't have a history of multi-sports competitions or sporting activities, I would certainly just be a little bit hesitant on this one in particular, but there is a shorter event available here on the same weekend, on the same day today in itself. But fantastic location, awesome, a little bit difficult to get to because it's out in the middle of nowhere in between Sweden and Finland, but wow, I mean, we are sitting here and the sun is setting. There is a slight glow on the horizon behind the trees, and the water is a glass it's glass pond
there. Yeah, from my point of view, the experience today was really great. It was wonderful to be back, and I think it's a magnificent route that we that this race has found, and they really showcase the most beautiful parts of these islands, definitely. And I'm saying that as somebody who has lived here for 13 years or so. you can take my word for that. And the other big experience from a more swim run performance point of view was that the preparations this year were so much better, so much more thorough than last year. Simon is kind of agreeing, but not necessarily completely. But from my point of view,
certainly for you,
I felt very prepared, and that definitely helped me have a much better race than last year. And I'm definitely not going to be affected for as long as last year from both the swim and the run side, and will recover much quicker, I think. So let's take it from the start. Why don't you talk us through the first few segments until aid station one?
Yeah, great, because I probably remember more of that than the latter parts of the actual stages. Personally, just to reflect, and this is not an excuse for the listeners out there, but I came into this with a torn hamstring from 3 weeks ago. Why did I take part? Why shouldn't I take part? I think it was you put out the invitation, I suggested it to you, and we went, why not? Let's see if it can happen. So really exciting. And when I finished pro racing on triathlons, Ironmans, I actually said I wanted to do something not extreme or really stupid, I think is the phrase, but more crazy and new. So what a perfect event to come to do. So stage one, we started at the hotel on the north of the island.
Yep, at the very north of Åland Island. So you got the entire north of the Baltic Sea, nothing between you and the very northernmost cities along the northeast coast of Sweden.
Mm. We can't really paint the picture for you, because it would have been nice to actually have looked a little bit out of the view and spent a bit of time there, but unfortunately we arrived a little bit late on the coach and we were pushing for time. I think we started a little bit later on, didn't we?
A couple of minutes.
So we got changed, we got all prepped, we had a briefing inside the hotel, and the first stage was a run, 4 kilometers, kilometer run. And the first kind of maybe kilometer at the most, or not even that, maybe just under, was on a little gravel track, a road in particular. And then all of a sudden we took a right-hand turn and we suddenly found a forest in front of us. The thing that we really struggled throughout the whole day, I believe, was following the little markers. So it was two ribbons or one ribbon tied to trees throughout most of the course, but not 100%.
And it's interesting that you say that we struggled, because from me having participated the year before, I think that we did really great with them, and actually staying alert all the time and really not wasting a lot of time. You had those moments when you wasted a few minutes here and there. Not wasted, you needed those minutes to find the next marker.
Absolutely.
But I definitely think that we did a better job this year than what I did last year with my participation,
right,
and
okay,
in finding those markers.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, this is swim run for you. It's almost like orienteering, but we weren't quite 100% of the time with our compass out. Obviously, I had to put it back in the pocket. If it worked, if it was calibrated correctly as well on today. So we kind of followed the rest of the groups and stuck with the leaders at the certainly the first stage. And then a team that was a mixed team, kind of took the advantage because they had prepped the course the day before and were really keen to get going. So we pushed through on the first stage. It was okay. It was pretty good. Maybe a little bit rushed. Not rushed, but we weren't sprinting. I don't know what the paces were.
Yeah, again, my experience from last year is that we were much more
reserved,
tactical about it, and conservative in terms of pace and effort especially. So I've think that it felt like a perfect effort.
Yeah.
But then obviously you then had your hamstring flare up on you on the first stage.
Which I was expecting and I was waiting for. Then we got into the water on the first swim section. It wasn't that cold. I was expecting it to be a lot colder.
And to give some context, it was, what did you say?
13, 14 degrees. And I've been training in the rivers in the UK, and that was certainly 10 or 11 degrees, which was great climatization, and certainly something to deal with the cold water syndromes, cold water shocking. We swam well in the first time. We decided that with me being the strongest swimmer that I would take the lead, but looking back at the whole day today, I don't think you're getting the same advantage within swim run on the swim section as you would get within a triathlon on or open water swimming in just that swimming zone in itself. You can't go beyond 10 meters of each other throughout in the swims, and it's so I was constantly looking behind, but it was fine. We were working together, and the sighting wasn't we did really well today on the sighting.
I think we did really well on that, yeah. Yeah, we didn't.
I tend to think I swim reasonably straight, and there was thankfully no major swell,
yeah.
Or no currents in particular. So we pushed on, and we actually pushed up to, was it after stage five? Obviously that's swim run on the five stages for both of them. There was the service point one. I was looking forward to actually getting my nutrition, which I'd planned the day before, and pretty much up to that point was happy to pick up the bottle and was a little bit behind on the gels, but now looking back out of it, I should have started my gels a lot earlier, and certainly on the second run stage, if not maybe towards the end of the stage, the first run stage, before we got into the water, giving it that time for it to get through the system and absorb into the system, into the body.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the takeaway that we can give, that even though some of these stages runs like 800 meters, they look like nothing where you would need to take a gel, but what you need to consider is that you're constantly working. You're either swimming or you're running, moving through terrain, and you're expending energy, you're expending calories. So you need to take that time into account. And I was very diligent with every 20 minutes I wanted my 20 calories to get that 20 grams of carbs. So to get that 60 grams
per
of 20, carbs per hour.
Yeah.
So what that breaks down to, 3 gels per hour, and then I had, well, roughly, and then I had some sports drink to supplement that with as well on the aid station. So for me, again, this was a big takeaway compared to last year, that the nutrition plan was great, it was perfect, and I stuck with it. And you also had a very good plan, but as you say, I think that probably not sticking to it as diligently in the beginning maybe cost you later.
I think I undercalculated the amount of that I was needing to take on board, because if you look at it, I calculated to a total of 495 grams with the amount that I was carrying with me, and that was based on the 60 grams per hour, and we did our best to try and get that within the service points in particular. And looking and comparing that into the Ironman world, because that's all I have that experience of, it is something that you need to practice. Once again, we always say to in the triathlon world, we say practice your nutrition within training, certainly the longer runs and the longer bikes. Within the swimming, we weren't taking on the nutrition, but it was before or after the swim that we were taking that opportunity to do it, or running with a bottle during the run. So it's something which if I was ever to take part in this event again, I would go back and actually increase that amount of calorie intake, because you're not racing. I wasn't racing at the pace, the effort that I was used to within the smoother waters up to that 4K swim, the 3.8K swim in Ironman, the 180K bike, which are smoother, and you've got those feeding stations which you can plan, and the run, which is all on road within the Ironman world. So it's totally different specific nutrition, not just the planning, but also the taking it on, absorbing it and taking it into your body and into your mouth.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing is with hydration, it's difficult, but what we actually learned on the bus up to the start of the race was that, I've known it that you can. It doesn't hurt if you accidentally drink the water here in the Baltic Sea, because it's just 0.3% salt. But I'd never thought about like consciously using that to your advantage by drinking it in the swim runs, because that's, as I've been talking about before, something that I was finding challenging and was being concerned about. How are we to get enough liquid in with just 5 aid stations over a 9 or 10 hour challenge? That's really not a lot, and I started to use that, and actually while on the swims drink the Baltic Sea water And
watching out for the jellyfish. There was millions of jellyfish. Yeah. Thankfully, none of them were swimming at the level of the water. You paddle them away with your paddle rather than the hand because you.
Get... Yeah, but they're not stinging here.
Oh, they're not. Okay, no, okay. No. Thanks for telling me that at the beginning. I was very conscious.
I wanted you to swim faster.
Well, no, are you sure about that?
No,
sorry, we're just looking at each other here. So just to set the scene. No. I took that on board, absorbing the seawater. Towards the last stage, because I was starting to deplete in glycogen and I was starting to deplete in my carbs, my energy. I was sweating a heck of a lot, which we may be jumping around here a little bit and not necessarily.
I think that's fine. To get more through the takeaways.
Absolutely.
And...
I struggled. I didn't believe Mikel when he said to me, "You're going to get really warm." And I'm going, "Well, the water's about 12 degrees when I first thought it was going to be, but it was a bit warmer." But on the runs, almost every run, I was trying to remove my swim cap and my goggles just to let that heat get off out of the extremities. So your head, if you're ever trying to cool down quickly. Get your hat off your head. Obviously, if it's direct sunlight, keep your hat on. Maybe get some water and cold water over your head just to help out. But or you dip your hands into the bucket of water or into the sea, as we were, and that will help you to avoid that heat stroke in particular. So I actually absorbed the water, the seawater, towards the end of the actual event. And I think it helped. I think that was my only option because we had passed all the service stations and I was down to my last three gels and we still had about 10K to go, I think, in total of swim run itself. You ended up giving me your last gel.
We're moving pretty slow or run walking at that point because of Simon's hamstring. So and I had been really diligent so far with my energy intake and with not a lot left to go. I felt like I could really, I didn't really need the extra energy for that last bit. I could definitely make it through because I had my glycogen stores topped off and had kept them at a high level. So that was fine. Yeah, other than that, hydration, nutrition, what else, what are takeaways do we have and what did we learn from our experience?
Certainly planning was a positive thing. Yesterday, we spent quite a lot of time on that. You really got to plan this stuff in these endurance sports and you've got to try it out in your training in particular. I think that's on the nutrition side of things. I think the other thing is that I did not expect the terrain to be like that. So underfoot, we were walking because if we ran, I actually fell once because I wasn't able to pick my left leg up because of my hamstring. I tripped over a tree root and I face planted into the ground. And it could have been a lot more dangerous and a lot more, problems. So you... And we can't even paint the picture for you. But if you think about
We can paint the picture in a way that if you know the Ötilö or know of Ötilö, we have guys here that have taken part in Ötilö and they said that they think that this is a tougher event because of the terrain. And Ötilö is mostly gravel roads that you're running on in most cases, some technical terrain, but proportionally not a lot. And whereas here it's you're really trying to force your way through bushes and very, very, very gnarly vegetation and difficult roots, rocks, everything.
It was hard to get out of the water as well, so they're really slippy. And this is probably a little bit more of a technical side of things. So on shoes, I don't think there's 100% shoe out there which is grippy, for some of the slimy moss on the... But there are some better than others.
Yeah, certainly. And I think that what I had, the Icebug Acceleridas, with thank you to Icebug, who sponsored me for those... They were absolutely brilliant grip, and even on those slippery slopes, I could get up fairly easily with them. So that was definitely a big improvement compared to last year.
I was using the On Adventure Peak shoes, not the Gore-Tex ones, because that would trap water into it. The really good thing about the On shoe was that it was able to drain the water out really quickly. They were really comfortable. They were really lightweight as well, so that was really important to myself. However, I did struggle on the gripping side of things a lot of it. I'm not the best trail runner, but I think that's a technical aspect that you could build on no matter what type of shoes you've got using out there.
Yeah. And we're hearing that we need to go to the pricing ceremony now, so we'll probably end this discussion here. We're now recording through our mobile phones live outside. The sun is still setting even further, and it's getting dark. We're going to have some pizza and beer after the pricing ceremony.
Don't say beer.
What do you like on your pizza, Simon?
What I like on pizza? Probably like chicken, cheese, obviously. That's the basic stuff. I think anything at this stage, because I'm actually going to eat absolutely anything. And you got to try the fish soup when you come out here. Mikel and I are laughing because I thought that at the beginning of the event, I thought the last thing I actually want to eat is anything from the sea, or I don't want to see anything associated with the sea at all. But the fish soup on the finishing line was, oh my goodness me, it was to die for. So I apologize if I upset any chefs out there who were involved in it. Awesome. Get yourselves out here to Åland's Swim Run for 2018 and definitely get yourself some fish soup on the finish line.
So you heard it here first. It's tougher than an Ironman. The fish soup is the best you'll ever have. The nature is magnificent. No reason not to come. And that's actually what this last audio clip is about. This is with the race director of the event, Hubbe, and he'll tell you in just a couple of minutes why you should come to the event and what makes it so special.
I'm back after the pricing ceremony, and now I'm with the race director of Åland Swim Run, Hubbe, and everybody seems to be thinking that this is an absolutely amazing event. Everybody's raving about it, also talking about how challenging it is, but that's of course on purpose. So I just thought that I would catch 2 quick minutes with you so that you could tell the listeners who might be interested in going to this event next year, for example, what makes this race unique and why listeners should actually travel here to do this race.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for coming and thanks for letting me be on the podcast. I would say if you would like to have a tough race that is tough enough, that it's demanding, maybe not the longest one, but still demanding in case of swimming, in case of temperature, in case of elevation, I would say come to Åland Swim Run. Challenge yourself, and if you have family members that don't go for the tough enough, the long distance, we also have shorter ones so that then everybody can enjoy.
One more question, because I personally think I'm proud of my island, of course, or where I originally come from. I think it's absolutely magnificent and beautiful. What do you think about the actual nature and the wilderness that you go through, and what it looks like, the beauty of it? What are your favorite parts of the things that you see on this race?
My favorite part is definitely at the beginning. I would say it's the toughest part. If it's called a swim, it's the toughest swim, but it's also the best running. You have pretty high cliffs, you have red granite, you have open sea, you have the northern sea. It's just spectacular.
Yeah, I agree. That's my favorite part as well. Thank you, Hubbe, for once again arranging an amazing event, and I look forward to taking part next year as well.
Thanks. See you all, guys, next year.
So, just a few final takeaways before we close this show off. My number one takeaway is probably that preparation is absolutely key when it comes to swim run. Both in terms of training, even with my knee injury that I had that prevented a lot of my run training, that was specific for swimrun, I should say. I was so much better prepared for this race than last year's race. I'm thinking especially about the amount of swim training, cold water adaptations I got from a lot of open water training in the last 4 weeks before the race, and also a lot of time to work with the paddles to strengthen my shoulders. Yes, I was still hurting in the race, but I could use my shoulders the day after, and not as last year where they were completely useless even 2 weeks after the race. And so that was a big thing for me, a big difference. Nutrition, as we talked about several times throughout this episode, that was key, and having that great nutrition plan. And in my case, Simon would probably agree that he didn't quite stick to it, but I stuck to it religiously, and that definitely helped. I had no issues whatsoever with energy depletion or anything. So, and also obviously sufficient energy intake will help your recovery as well. So I'm feeling really fresh now. Went for a bike ride today, 3 days after the event, and I'm busy with my move, but I'll keep training lightly. So no worries on that side of things. And also preparation in terms of actually having the mandatory equipment, reading the PM. We were checked for maps and first aid kits when we got to the finish line, and had we not had them with us and kept them in safely in the pocket of our wetsuits, we would probably have been, I don't know if we would have been disqualified, but we probably wouldn't have won the Finnish national championships. At least we might have been disqualified from that category. So that was crucial to go through all the details, make sure you have everything with you. And obviously something that we also need to consider in terms of preparation is that specific swim run training. And that's something that I think could be done better and on the actual terrain or similar terrain to where we were training. I didn't do that. The running was very smooth and gravel roads, a bit of single track trail, but pretty groomed when I was training. So having to actually go through that really wild terrain would have been good to do in training. Other than that, my main takeaway is really, if you're at all interested, look this event up, go to the show notes. I'll link to a few videos and photos of the event, and you can have a look. I'll be very happy to help you out with any sort of arrangements that you need to come here, because I really want this event to grow. I love it so much. It's a fantastic event, so don't hesitate to reach out. That's michael@scientifictriathlon.com and Michael with a K. And also one final quick word. I'm very grateful to Colting Wetsuits, and in particular Marcus, who works there, Marcus Milburn, and to Icebug for sponsoring me with equipment. I got a Colting wetsuit, or swimrun suit, I should say, for the event, and I was actually in a real situation of need when I reached out to them, because my other swimrun suit, which was not a Colting wetsuit, had just broken in training, and Marcus quickly sent me a suit and the swim caps and everything it needed. So that was brilliant. It was an absolute joy to running, compared to even when, though I've been very happy with my other swimrun suit, it was a night and day difference. The Colting swimrun suit is so perfectly designed for swimming and running that I absolutely loved it. The one thing that I would say is that I really missed a back pocket, and if both of me and Simon would have had that swimrun suit, we would have had a difficult time too. We would have needed to be very creative with how we would have, for example, carried that first aid kit and so on. But all in all, I'm very happy with that, and also the Colting paddles that both me and Simon used. And also big thanks to Icebug for sending me their Icebug Acceleridas swimrun shoes. Those were brilliant, fantastic grip, draining super fast, and I really liked them and would definitely recommend them, as well as the Colting swimrun suit, to anybody. So thank you again to Colting Wetsuits and Icebug for that. The show notes for today's episode can be found on thattriathlonshow.com, and there you'll be able to download the training program that me and Simon used to prepare for this race. Although, as I said, my knee was a bit boggy at times and I didn't do all of the runs, but it was what was intended. So go to thattriathlonshow.com to download that training program. The next couple of episodes will be with Simon once again, and these episodes will be more about triathlon training, and we'll cover things like what you should do as a beginner, an improver, and an advanced athlete, both in terms of general triathlon training, but also swimming, biking, and running specifically, and what Simon's view of these things are. And it's about time we have Simon on the show, given that he's been coaching me for well over a year now, and this podcast is more than, it's about half a year old or something. So definitely time to have Simon on. And it was great to have these episodes recorded live with him in the That Triathlon Show temporary studio on the Åland Islands during the swimrun weekend. So look forward to that. Also, I want to remind you that I have set myself a goal of reaching 105 star reviews on iTunes before the end of this year. this end is quickly coming to a close. It's just one quarter left, so I need all the help I can get. And somebody who did help me was, this is an iTunes review from Sweden, from PedH67. He writes, "The missing link, 5 stars. This podcast is the missing link since the podcast TriTalk stopped more than 5 years ago. One of my go-to podcasts for triathlon and training information. Interesting guests and well-researched subjects, a perfect company for long training ride or runs. Keep up the good work, Michael." So if you want to help me out in reaching my goal, then please rate and review That Triathlon Show in iTunes or your podcast player app. That really, really helps me get the word out about the show. Thank you, as always, for listening. Keep training smart and keep loving triathlon.